November 3, 1908. Nature Speaks of God. Ellen G. White. The glory of God is displayed in his handiwork. Here are mysteries that the mind will become strong in searching out. Minds that have been amused and abused by reading fiction may in nature have an open book and read truth in the works of God around them. All may find themes for study in the simple leaf of the forest tree, the spires of grass covering the earth with their green velvet carpet, the plants and flowers, the stately trees of the forest, the lofty mountains, the granite rocks, the restless ocean, the precious gems of light studding the heavens to make the night beautiful, the exhaustless riches of the sunlight, the solemn glories of the moon, the winter's cold, the summer's heat, the changing, recurrent seasons in perfect order and harmony, controlled by infinite power. Here are subjects which call for deep thought, for the stretch of the imagination. If the frivolous and pleasure-seeking will allow their minds to dwell upon the real and true, the heart cannot but be filled with reverence, and they will adore the God of nature. The contemplation and study of God's character as revealed in his created works will open a field of thought that will draw the mind away from low, debasing, enervating amusements. When the Lord was training Israel to be the special representatives of himself, he gave them homes among the hills and valleys. In their home life and their religious service, they were brought in constant contact with nature and the Word of God. So also Christ taught his disciples by the lake, on the mountainside, in the fields and groves, where they could look upon the things of nature by which he illustrated his teachings. So through the creation we are to become acquainted with the Creator. The book of nature is a great lesson book, which in connection with the scriptures we are to use in teaching others of his character and guiding lost sheep back to the fold of God. As the works of God are studied, the Holy Spirit flashes conviction into the mind. It is not the conviction that logical reasoning produces, but unless the mind has become too dark to know God, the eye too dim to see him, the ear too dull to hear his voice, a deeper meaning is grasped, and the sublime, spiritual truths of the written word are impressed on the heart. In these lessons direct from nature, there is a simplicity that makes them of the highest value. All need the teaching to be derived from this source. In itself, the beauty of nature leads the soul away from sin and worldly attractions and toward purity, peace, and God. Too often the minds of students are occupied with men's theories and speculations, falsely called science and philosophy. They need to be brought into close contact with nature. Let them be taught to see the harmony of the natural with the spiritual. Let everything which their eyes see or their hands handle be made a lesson in character building. Thus the mental powers will be strengthened, the character developed, the whole life ennobled. But the teacher of sacred truth can impart only that which he himself knows by experience. Christ taught the truth because he was the truth. His own thought, his character, were embodied in his teaching. So with his servants, those who would teach the word are to make it their own by a personal experience. They cannot teach from nature without being in sympathy with nature and nature's God. But the knowledge of God's works and ways we can only begin to obtain in this world. The study will be continued throughout eternity. God has provided for man subjects of thought which will bring into activity every faculty of the mind. We may read the character of the Creator in the heavens above and the earth beneath, filling the heart with gratitude and thanksgiving. Every nerve and sense will respond to the expressions of God's love in his marvelous works. God, who created everything lovely and beautiful that the eye rests upon, is a lover of the beautiful. He shows us how he estimates true beauty. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit is in his sight of great price. Shall we not seek earnestly to gain that which God estimates as more valuable than costly dress, or pearls, or gold? The inward adorning, the grace of meekness, a spirit in harmony with the heavenly angels, will not lessen true dignity of character or make us less lovely here in this world. The Redeemer has warned us against the pride of life, but not against its grace and natural beauty. He pointed to the glowing beauty of the flowers of the field and said, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Here he shows that, even though persons may toil with weariness to make themselves objects of admiration, that which they value so highly will not bear comparison with the flowers of the field.
In the growth and development of nature, learn the principles of Christ's kingdom. Thus, the light of heaven will quicken the mind. Christ himself will be your teacher. Those who combine with their school education a knowledge of God's working through physical life in the garden of nature will receive lessons simple yet full of instruction in regard to his working through spiritual life in the garden of the heart. Such an education will restore the image of God in the soul. It will strengthen and fortify the mind against temptation, and fit the learner to become a co-worker with Christ in his mission of mercy to the world. It will make him a member of the heavenly family and prepare him to share the inheritance of the saints in light.